from coast to coast and around the world. You are now walking with spirit. Hello, everybody. I'm Monique Chapman, your host, and thank you for joining us for an hour of personal and metaphysical growth. Each week, Walking with Spirit explores different topics from the mundane to the mystical with stimulating guests from all over the world who share their knowledge to uplift consciousness. Tonight, we have Dr. Jean Slater with us, and she's the author of Hiring the Heavens. If you'd like to speak with us and ask a psychic question or find out about how you can hire the heavens to help in your situation, the phone lines are open. The numbers are toll-free, 1-888-268-4313 or 530-876-3222. Again, those numbers, 888-268-4313 or 530-876-3222. We also encourage you to email your questions to spiritanswers@walkingwithspirit.net, and your questions will be answered in real time on the air. Now, Jean has gifted us with copies of her book, and the book is entitled Hiring the Heavens. And the first 5 people who call in and ask a question will get a free copy. All you have to do is give the producer your name and address, and we'll get this copy of the book right out to you. Now, a bit about me for our new listeners. I'm an intuitive energy therapist with 25 years' experience. I have helped thousands of people from stay-at-home parents to corporate executives make their invisible dreams visible. I utilize my gifts, and I'm in touch with past, present, and future events, eliminating the fog and paving the way for clarity. I work with Eastern, Western, African, and Caribbean methodologies, in addition to being a board-certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, and ordained minister. Tonight's guest, Jean Slater, is a teacher, lecturer, and natural health practitioner who loves to help others and find their joy in all facets of life. She combines extensive academic training and intuitive spiritual guidance to assist her clients on their path to wellness. Welcome to Walking with Spirit, Jean.
Thank you, Monique.
How you doing?
I've been doing just great. Thank you.
Great. And thank you for joining me tonight. You know, you have such a fascinating background. Why don't you let our listeners know what that is?
Well, I got into the natural health business, I want to say 18 years ago when I was having a health issue that was, I could not get any answers from with the medical, community. So, I heard about a natural health practitioner in the area that I lived in and went to see her, got answers that I couldn't get any other way, and I was, at that moment, I fell in love with the modality and said, I need to know more about this. And for the next 4 or 5 years, I studied and got my degrees, and then it has become my livelihood.
Oh, great. Well, how did you jump from doing that to working with the heavens and hiring them, no less?
And I must say that looking back with 2020 hindsight, it actually was my spiritual life path committee that helped me along the way, that just put me in touch with just the right people to get me into that profession in the first place.
Uh-huh.
There is definite guidance available to us, and we just need to open our eyes to it. And a lot of times when we experience coincidence and synchronicity, we're amazed by it, certainly. We say, wow, wasn't that interesting? I can't believe it, hardly. And then we just let it go and don't attach any more importance to it. Well, what happened to me one afternoon when I was working with a client was so synchronistic. What's the word?
Yeah, you say that. I'll let it go.
It had so much coincidence.
There
I
you
just
go.
Could not pass it off. And I just, it absolutely set me back and made me think about what was actually happening. And I'd love to tell the story if we can get right into it.
Jump in, hon.
Okay. So I was working with a client, and we had to do there's numerous ways that you can ask the body what it wants. And with this particular session, this client's body said it needed to clear 5 neurotransmitters and that I had to name all 5. And at the time, I didn't know a whole lot about neurotransmitters. So I scrambled to come up with 4, but could not think of the 5th. And so I would ask the body, well, can we go proceed anyway without knowing the 5th? And said, no, we cannot. I need to name the 5th one. So I said to the client, I'm sorry, we're really going to have to reschedule and give me a moment or give me some time to research neurotransmitters so I can come up with the 5th one. And she said to me, well, is histamine a neurotransmitter? Just, you know, that's the very first thing that came out of her mouth.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at her and I said, no, histamine's not a neurotransmitter. That's the, you know, that stuff that your sinuses produce when you have an allergic reaction or when you have a cold, that's why you take antihistamines.
Uh-huh.
No, that's not a neurotransmitter. And then at that very moment, I turned around and for no reason at all, pulled a book off my shelf that I had purchased a year prior and had never looked at.
Mm-hmm.
I opened to a page and laughed because the page I opened to had the word histamine in the title. I said, oh, look at this. It's not something. It's talking about histamine.
Huh.
And then my eyes went to a line immediately. And I'm telling you, this happened in seconds. My eyes went to a line buried in a paragraph that said, histamine is also thought to be a neurotransmitter.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the pivotal moment. That was the moment when the hair stood up on my arm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's amazing when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And you bought that book a year prior and hadn't touched it because you weren't ready for the information. And then when you needed it, right
it was
there.
It was there. And what that did for me was open my eyes to synchronicity and
mm-hmm.
to the realization that maybe it's not just chance, that maybe it's being arranged for us, because clearly that sequence of events could not be passed off as just coincidental. First of all, something had to whisper it to my client's ear, and then when she spoke it out loud, when I denied it,
uh-huh.
then something made me turn around and pull the exact book off the shelf that would have the exact line of information that I needed to confirm it. There is just no way that was coincidence. So that became the pivotal moment for me to explore what is this guidance about? What just happened? And so the thought occurred to me that I might actually have a spiritual physician guiding me. And that thought just fascinated me.
Uh-huh.
I thought, well, as I'm working with these clients, maybe I can tap into information that's beyond me. So I began to have what I would call staff meetings. And every morning on the way to work, I would talk to this spiritual physician. And I would explain who my clients were and what we were working on and what I would like help with. And I'm telling you, Monique, it was amazing because the information that would come forward was beyond my technical training.
Okay. But Jean, how did you know who this spiritual physician was?
I didn't, and I still don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you don't have that need to know, huh?
No. It's just a presence, and it's a intention. It's my intention to open up to that information.
Uh-huh.
Well, that worked so well for me that I thought to myself, well, if I'm getting help on that level, maybe it's because I'm doing what I'm here to be doing, that I'm helping people in this way and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That's why I'm getting help from the spiritual world in providing information for me. So maybe they would help me out in other aspects of my business.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, could I get a spiritual receptionist and a spiritual secretary and a spiritual marketer and a spiritual time manager? And no sooner than I asked for those energies to come in, it was absolutely evident that I had all of that, my entire staff at my fingertips.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Jean, that's pretty interesting, but how would you utilize a spiritual receptionist and a spiritual marketing person?
Well, when I would look ahead in my schedule and see that I had some openings,
uh-huh.
I would talk to my spiritual marketer and I'd say, look, we've got openings in the next couple of days. Could you get on the horn and let's bring some clients in? And every time when I'd ask for it, it's there.
Just that simple?
Just that simple.
Wow. Oh, that's truly amazing.
I just did it a couple of weeks ago. I looked ahead on my next week's schedule, and I only had about a third of the clients that I needed for a full week.
Uh-huh.
Only about a third. And this is on a Friday morning.
Uh-huh.
By Sunday night, 2.5 days later, I had I had more than a full schedule.
And all you did was ask your spiritual marketer to send you clients?
Yes.
Nothing else.
Nothing.
No long ritual. Didn't meditate 40 hours.
No.
None of that.
No. And it's as simple as your intention. It's as simple as a thought. I truly, every day when I go to work, I hold my staff meetings. And this time, not only am I pulling in my spiritual physicians, but my entire staff. And I talk about what's going on with my business. I talk about how much money I need to bring in to my financial consultant. I talk to my marketer about my schedule. I talk to my receptionist and my secretary about the phone calls because, well, here's another example. Years ago, before I had thought about hiring a spiritual secretary, I used to spend 2 to 3 hours every single night on the phone. And this would be for clients that would call in and they'd want to know what I do and how does it work and et cetera, just answering questions. So not only would I put in a day's work, but I'd come home and put in 2 to 3 hours on the phone. And I had 4 little children and it got to be just overwhelming. So when I hired my spiritual secretary, that's one of the very first things I asked for. I said, would you please hold my calls to no more than a half an hour in an evening? And since that, I asked for that, it has been done. It's never been an issue since.
Okay. Well, you know, Gina, I feel a couple of people out there that are kind of doubting, you know, what you're saying. Not that it can happen, but with the ease. Now, tell me, before you got all of this into motion, did you spend a lot of time in meditation? So is this something that you took years to set up and then all of a sudden it worked for you, or is this something that you just decided, I'm giving it a shot, believed in it, and it worked?
Well, it certainly wasn't due to any devotion on my part because, I'm someone that you couldn't talk to me about religion or spirituality for that matter for years.
Okay.
Probably from age 19 to 35, that was a subject that was off limits to me. And I, again, with 20/20 hindsight looking back, I'd say that it was synchronicity that just was forcing me to take a look at something that I didn't want to, and that was the spiritual aspect. And so it certainly wasn't due to the fact that I was searching it out or looking for it. It was more brought to my attention in a way that I couldn't deny it.
Okay, so you don't have to believe in any particular religious dogma or doctrine.
And the way that I write my book and the way that I speak about my spiritual helpers, it was the way for me to do it without dogma. I didn't even have to use the word angels. Many people believe in angels, and I, to tell you the truth, don't know how any of this works. So I just term what I do is I imagine that the spiritual world is every bit as complex as our own physical world, and that there is a spiritual double for everyone that we have here on Earth. So in the spiritual world, if you can imagine, there are fabulous accountants and fabulous carpenters and fabulous caretakers, and et cetera, et cetera, just as there is here on Earth. And I actually believe now that it has to exist in the spiritual world first before it can exist in the physical plane. So I imagined tapping into that vast resource by imagining the universal yellow pages. So whatever it is that I'm doing here on this physical plane, I first engage the spiritual help and ask for it. So if, for example, we're doing an addition on our home, well, you better believe I've got spiritual carpenters and spiritual architect and everyone involved on the spiritual level to help me on the physical. And what that does is bring in spontaneous synchronicity. So just the right person shows up. You get put in contact with just the right architect. You get in contact with just the right carpenter that has just the right skills you were asking for and just the right interior decorator, et cetera, et cetera. What it does is it opens up an unbelievable resource to you. And it's certainly true that, and probably more than any other point in my book, the one that I hope people come away with is that they do not have to earn this. This is not given to us because we earn it in a certain amount of prayer, certain amount of meditation, because we're good people, or for any reason like that. It is a gift to us. It's ours. It belongs to us just as much as the air we breathe. There's nothing that you have to do to earn the air that you breathe.
Uh-huh.
And this is our gift to us because we exist, because we are a child of God.
Okay, this wonderful spirit walking around in a human body. Well, we're listening to Walking with Spirit. I'm Monique Chapman, and my guest tonight is Dr. Jean Slater. The phone lines are open if you'd like to ask a psychic question or you want to find out how the heavens can help you in your situation. Give us a call toll-free at 888-268-4313 or 530-876-3222. Jean, her website is jeanslater.com, and that's JeanSlater.com. And, of course, there you can find out more about the work that she does, and we'll talk to her a bit more about that in a moment, plus her book, Hiring the Heavens, and then you have the book on CD, don't you, Jean?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. So you could take a look there and order the book from her. Now, are you working one-on-one with clients, or...?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm continuing to work as a natural health practitioner and continuing to work with my spiritual staff in that way to assist me. But my spiritual staff works with me on every aspect of my life, and that was, I thought I'd be really daring many years ago after I discovered how well my spiritual staff was working for me in my business. I thought, well, what if I can do this in my personal life? So I began to explore all sorts of possibilities in every aspect of my life, from the very mundane to life path projects, and put together committees and hire spiritual help from what I call the Spiritual Temp Agency for all sorts of issues I was working on and projects, and it's been absolutely amazing.
Okay, so how did the Spiritual Temp Agency work?
The Spiritual Temp Agency.
well, you know, let's give an example that you have done for yourself, but I know there's somebody out there who's looking for a job and for whatever reason can't find one, whether it's a temporary position or full-time position. Walk us through how you would help them engage their spirits of the heavens to help them.
Okay, so if someone is looking for a job, what you would do is imagine that you have all the money and the resources available to you that you could possibly have, as well as all the time available. So you would, if you had all the money available, you would probably hire a headhunter, for example, or someone that can peruse the paper every morning and find just the right position for you, something that you would really enjoy, and would sit down and interview you and say, okay, what are your talents and what are your abilities? Well, imagine hiring that on the spiritual level, and every day, say just first thing in the morning, talk to your spiritual committee and say, all right, this is what I'm asking for, this is the type of job that I'm looking for, bring me to just the right people, or bring to my attention the right paper to look into so that I can go to a job interview that will fulfill all my needs and something that I will feel exceedingly happy with. And then just wait for synchronicity. It's amazing, because you'll be walking down the street and you'll happen to bump into somebody you haven't seen in a long time and tell them you're looking for a job, and they'll say, oh, well, I happen to know somebody that's needing just that, just your skills, and that's how it happens.
Oh, okay, so it can be very, very simple, but how do we get it out of our own way to allow this to happen?
Yes, well,
that's the tough one, because, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there who are very good at, you know, sitting down and I call it daydreaming, or, you know, imaginative play, creating what they want, but then they block it, they sabotage themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I found that, you know, you, on some level you have to be, you know, just open and let it flow in without expectation. At least that's what's worked for me.
Yes. And if that seems to be something that you struggle with, or if there's listeners that find that they do sabotage themselves at every turn,
mm-hmm.
then the very first thing that I would do is hire a spiritual sabotage monitor.
There you go.
To be tapping you on the shoulder every time you're going into that place where you're sabotaging yourself. And I have used monitors for many different habits that I have that I want to get rid of.
Uh-huh.
And it is. It feels like someone's tapping me on the shoulder and making me much more aware of every time I'm doing something that I want to change in my behavior.
Okay, so it's really about becoming more self-aware?
Self-aware, absolutely.
Okay. Well, you know, you do this, and I know that your techniques work. I had you on a show of mine a while ago, and I've employed your techniques, and they truly do work if one is willing to just sit back and let them come. But for someone who hasn't gone through the process, how do they know it's going to work? I mean, what if someone got up tomorrow morning and they said, I want to win the lottery today because it's Mega Ball Day and I want to win for $250 million, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and then that doesn't materialize mm-hmm. for them?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you mean. Well, what I have found is that just start with something small. And ask for that and see what happens. You know, always what does happen will be in your highest and greatest good. It's kind of a law of the universe
mm-hmm.
that it's always going to be in your highest and greatest good. So when you're asking for something that specific, like to win the lottery, what if that isn't in your highest and greatest good and so it doesn't manifest, and then you throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, well, this doesn't work. But try something small.
Mm-hmm.
I've had several readers do that, where they just start with like something they're wanting to find, a particular book or a particular item, and they just hire, for an example, a spiritual shopper to go with them to help them find that item.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, it happens, and they're absolutely thrilled. And then they'll hit the one that they find they have a hurdle to overcome. One lady told me that she had lost her grandmother's diamond bracelet.
Uh-huh.
And she felt so ashamed that she had lost it that she did not want to ask the heavens to help her. You know, I said, oh, so you don't feel like you deserve to have the heavens bail you out of this one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. I just feel terrible that I've lost it. And what I explained to her is that the heavens are absolutely delighted to help us out, and they don't stand in judgment about us saying, oh, you didn't take care of your grandmother's bracelet, therefore I'm not going to help you. It's not at all like that. The
uh-huh.
only thing that you'll receive from the heavens is fabulous, wonderful support. So I asked her to go ahead and ask for a spiritual sleuth, a jewelry sleuth, to help her find her grandmother's bracelet. She called me 15 minutes later. She said, I've got it.
Oh, okay. Well, Jean, how important is it to put fun and levity into the equation when we're asking for things that we want to create in our lives?
No, that is an art, to be able to ask for things
uh-huh.
and yet have a playful detachment. And I find that if you become so attached to what you're asking for, you bring in an energy of desperation. And that desperation says, if I don't have this and I don't get it exactly the way I'm asking for, I can't possibly be happy. And there's a great deal of anxiety that's involved with that. And that energy does not facilitate the flow from the heavens. So it's being able to ask for it
uh-huh.
and then let it go and have total faith that or something better is coming your way.
But what happens when you're in complete survival mode? I mean, what's today's date? The 18th, 19th, somewhere
mm-hmm.
in there. And it was just tax day, you know, depending
yes.
on what state you're in, it could be tax day today even. And so you had to pay taxes and, you know, you've got, you know, high rent, four kids running around, no
yes.
husband, and you need to pay that money on the first and you know you don't have it. How can you get out of that survival mode into hiring the heavens mode and being open for that energy to flow to you?
Well, I don't know that I have a particular trick for that, because I will tell you there have been many times that I have been in survival mode,
uh-huh.
and my prayers have been answered. So for me, it has worked even in that survival mode. I think maybe the key is having that faith that everything is happening as it should, and that whatever you're asking for,
uh-huh.
that or something better will be coming along. If it doesn't manifest just as you think it will,
okay.
there's a gift, there's a message to be looking for,
uh-huh.
and to understand what's behind that. I remember one lady told me that she's an artist, and she put together a spiritual committee to help her put on the best art exhibit that she could possibly do. So she left no stone unturned, and she had several pages of her spiritual committee written out exactly what she was asking for, and for every aspect of this art exhibit. And she was expecting, because of all the effort that she put into it, that she would get hundreds of people walking through.
Uh-huh.
Three people showed up, and no art was sold.
Oh.
So she came to me, and she said, "Jean, this does not work." And I listened to her story and found out a little bit more about her. Turns out that this was a lady that had serious health issues.
Uh-huh.
And the effort that she put into this art exhibit just about put her under. And she had to stay in bed for 2 weeks afterwards. So I said to her, "You know what? You may consider this a failure, but I consider it a success. And I think that your spiritual committee is giving you a message loud and clear that this is not the way you are to be selling your art, that this is too taxing on your health."
Uh-huh.
And they let you know in no uncertain terms, by such a dismal attendance, that this is not the way to go.
Uh-huh.
And she pondered that for a little while. She called me a few weeks later, said that she began to do a different type of advertising. It was sending out postcards. And she sold more from her postcards than she ever thought she'd sell at her art exhibit with very little effort.
Mm-hmm.
So it's looking for that gift. When something that you're asking for doesn't appear as you think it should, then look for what's the message behind that and what's the gift, knowing and having absolute faith that it's always in your highest and greatest good.
Okay. Well, we have an email from Marie in Texas, but before we do that, I want to remind people that the phone lines are open. The number is 888-268-4313 or 530-876-3222. Or you can also email, as Marie did, to spiritanswers@walkingwithspirit.net. Marie wants to know, plain and simple, how do you let go of the attachment to what it is that you want?
You do bring in that energy of playfulness. You understand that you're here to be a creator,
uh-huh.
and you're going to create many things. Think back to a child that is playing on the beach and building a sandcastle and having a ball doing it. Well, as the tide comes in, eventually it washes the sandcastle away. But it certainly doesn't ruin the child's life, does it?
No.
The child jumps around in the water and splashes and then runs off and does something else.
Uh-huh.
And that's that childlike, playful, unattached energy that we must have, because we are here to create many, many things. And sometimes they're beautiful, wonderful, fantastic creations, and they happen just as we thought they would. And other times, the wave comes along and just washes it away. When it ruins our lives, we have become attached to that thing that we are creating, and it has to be exactly that way. Otherwise, it ruins our lives.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's being able to be a playful creator, knowing that some things work, but by definition of duality, some things won't. And just knowing that, I'll go off and create something else.
Okay, so then you just let it flow however it's going to flow. So ask for it, Let it go, and however it comes, it's going to come.
That's right.
So even if it's the 31st and I need the money on the 1st and it's not there, I should have faith that it's coming.
Always this faith issue. Faith is a choice that you make, and that choice is that you believe that everything is happening in your highest and greatest good, and there can be no exceptions to this. And as I work with my clients in the natural health field, I hear some pretty sad stories and people that have had a lot of hard luck, and their health being taken away from them, and serious emotional issues, and abuse, and all sorts of things that just bring tears to your eyes. Well, faith is a choice that everything, without exception, was always in your highest and greatest good, and there can be no line that is drawn on that subject. There can be no place that says, okay, well, I can understand how this was okay, but I can't understand this, I can't accept. You just cannot draw a line on this. And I believe that is ultimate faith. If somebody, and I'm not talking about religious faith at all, I'm not talking about any preconceived ideas of what faith is. My definition of faith is that ultimate choice you make. Without exception, you believe that everything is happening in your highest and greatest good.
Okay, so even the things that we perceive as bad,
right,
to just to accept it, learn the lesson from it, and then move forward?
And move forward. And when you do that, no matter what's happening, you can take a look at it, look for the gift. It's a completely different perspective. Look for the gift, look for the humor in it, look for the message, and what you, the path that you lead, that will lead from that is that it'll go towards peace in your heart, understanding, love, compassion. If you don't accept that choice, if you instead choose to believe that things are not happening in your highest and greatest good, then it will lead to resentment, regrets, bitterness. What kind of, that is, it's not, those are not life-enhancing emotions.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question, because you kind of work in the medical field, okay, around that. So say someone, you know, comes, they go to the doctor, they find out they got cancer, and it's not, you know, necessarily serious yet, but the C word has been mentioned. How can they come to accept that and feel good about it?
Yes, well, I can tell you as a natural health practitioner that there is every dis-ease in the body has an emotional and mental component. And so as I work with clients, I'm always looking to find out what's the message behind this, what is the body trying to say, why is it manifesting in this way? And it could be that you're, the person is holding on to a great deal of bitterness and regret, and that will eventually cause a tumor, for example, or some cancerous growth. So coming to understand what was the purpose behind the event that they feel so strongly about, what was the purpose? What, coming to some understanding, some way of viewing it that they can see the gift that they have received from it. And when the person does that, oftentimes that in itself is enough to bring about a healing. From that point on, it can turn the body around, and since the body no longer needs to manifest this anger and this bitterness and resentment, and can now transform that into love and compassion, that can be the pivotal turn that the body needs to now rid itself of that cancerous growth.
Okay, so then what about the people who succumb to the cancer? Is that just a life lesson or a soul lesson that they needed to learn this time around?
You know, I believe, I'm not going to say 100% of the time that's what it is. Certainly there is, that is the case much of the time. But sometimes the person just wishes to leave for whatever reason. I'm sure it's a whole lot more complex than
the 2-second answer, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're listening to Walking with Spirit. I'm Monique Chapman, your host, and we're talking tonight with Dr. Jean Slater, and she's the author of Hiring the Heavens. You can find out more about Jean by going to her website at www.jeanslater.com, and that's JeanSlater.com. And there you can find out more about the work she does, purchase her CDs, or her book. Jean, why don't you tell us about the work that you do one-on-one with folks?
Okay. I use an electroacupuncture device. I don't know if you've ever heard
an electroacupuncture. No, I haven't.
Yeah.
It's not needles, is it?
No.
Okay.
It's a computer program that is based on the principles of acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is take a measurement of the flow of energy through the meridians,
mm-hmm.
which is an acupuncture term, and graphs for you what kind of flow of energy you have going to every organ and system in your body. And from that, I can tell if there's inflammation in the liver, the gallbladder, or if there's a deficiency in this flow of chi energy going to your spleen, your pancreas, et cetera,
uh-huh.
every system and organ in your body. And then there's only one thing that I'm looking to do when someone walks through the door, no matter what the issue is that they have. They may have been diagnosed with cancer or heart disease or diabetes, and it doesn't matter what the name is that they've been given. There's only one thing I'm looking to do, and that's to bring balance to the body.
Uh-huh.
And bringing balance to the body can be just literally anything. It could be that it is something on the physical level. There's a deficiency or something,
uh-huh.
or they need an herbal combination, or they need a homeopathic, or perhaps it's emotional, or it's a belief system that's got them held. Their body is a prisoner to this belief system. And so I do not have any cookie cutter remedies for any condition. I just wait and see what the body has to say.
Okay, so two people could present to you with the same symptoms, so to speak, but they could be treated totally different.
In 14 years, I don't know that I've ever had anybody repeat.
Oh, okay. Okay. And in the 14 years that you've been practicing, what's your, I guess, success rate, if you want to look at it that way?
Well, I don't know that I've ever taken the tally, but I will say this, that when you ask the body what it needs, your success rate is extremely high. Because it's not my intellect saying, oh, well, you have this, therefore you need that. It's not my intellect saying this. I'm letting the body pick out what it needs, and I'm also relying on my spiritual physician to guide me. And so remedies come up that sometimes I don't even know what the connection is, but it works. And so success rate is extremely high because I'm letting the body say what it wants.
Do what it needs.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know if you can answer this. We've got another email question, and this one is from Jacob in Wyoming. And this is interesting. He says his wife has recurrent yeast infections, and she's tried all types of medications. What can she do to alleviate the yeast infections?
So I could give you the stock answers that you would get at a health food store.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'll say it again. For each individual, it's always unique.
Yeah, well, in all fairness to Jacob, this question was here before you made that statement. So.
Yeah, okay. But each individual is so unique that there is, you are a sum total of everything that has ever happened to you in
mm-hmm.
your entire life. And so to get at what is behind that, maybe what I'll do is I'll tell Jacob the aspects that you might not get if you went and asked at a health food store, and that is that yeast seems to feed on the emotion, the fear of not being in control. So when things are happening that are beyond your control, that is an emotion that yeast seems to feed on.
Uh-huh.
And that may be something that he wouldn't get at a health food store.
Okay,
so
maybe
that little tidbit helps.
Okay, well, maybe he can take that, and he and his wife can work things out there.
Yeah.
You know, in your book, you talk a lot about journaling. What's the importance of journaling?
Oh, Well, journaling is where you, let's say, for an example, you put together a life path committee, and you're wishing to find more fulfillment in your life, more, a greater sense of peace and love and understanding. So you ask this spiritual life path committee to bring to your attention the information that you need to help bring about this greater energy of love. So what I do in my journaling is I'll ask a question, like for an example, I'll ask, something happened the day before and it really upset me. What was the message behind that? And I'll actually write that question down in my journal. And I'll wait for an answer, and the answer might come from reading during the day. I might pick up a particular book, and my eyes will go to a passage that has the answer for me. Or a friend will call, and we'll get talking about something, and the friend will say what it is that I needed to know. Or I'll be looking at Hallmark cards, and I'll see something. Or, you know, any kind of synchronicity like that. I remember one lady told me she had asked for a message to understand what was this relationship she had, this disharmony she had going with her sister-in-law. And she was driving at the time, and she looked up and saw a billboard that gave her the answer.
Well, you know, I've had a story like that. My youngest son is dyslexic, and the boy, this was back when he was in kindergarten, and he's an adult now. And, I couldn't find help for him, couldn't find help, didn't know which way to turn. And I was actually in corporate America at that time, and I was driving to a sales call, and I was making a left turn, and I looked up, and there was a huge billboard that said Saratoga Dyslexia Treatment Center. I stopped right in the middle of the street, found paper, pen, wrote it down, then went on my way. Horns blaring, but I didn't care.
Yes.
And, you know, I took him there, and he got the help that he needed.
Yes.
So that was something, you know, that was very real in my life. And at some time before then, I guess I'd put it out there that I wanted help for my child.
Yes.
And, you know, was kind of banging my head against the wall and didn't know which way to turn, and there it appeared.
And that's what hiring the heavens is all about. It's increasing that synchronicity and coincidence in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Tapping into that resource on a conscious, intentional level. Oh, there's so much more available to us than we would ever, ever imagine.
Well, how can we stay in that flow, so to speak, once we get into it?
For me, it's every single day having my staff meetings. And my staff meetings are similar to prayer. But they're ongoing throughout the day. It's nothing formal. It's in my car on the way to work. Or it's, I just happened that my car was overheating the other day, and so in that moment, I asked for a spiritual mechanic to help me out, and I end up saying to my son, I said, you need to go back to the gas station behind us. It was a couple miles behind us, and he looked at me and says, there's one right up here, and I said, go back to that one. Uh-huh. We went to the gas station, pulled up in front, and out walks a guy that he had a couple coffee's in his hand, and he looked and he says, oh, looks like we're having trouble. He came right over and started helping me. Turns out he had the exact same model of car that I do, and he was a mechanic.
Oh!
And so he was able to help me out and fix the problem right then and there. So it was, you know, it's air in looking always and being open to opportunities to call in spiritual help, whether it's you need a parking place or you need to buy a special gift for someone. It's their 50th birthday and you want to make sure you get something very special for them that they'll love. Calling in a spiritual shopper for you. I know that I mentioned this story to you before, but it's just so, it exemplifies how this works. It was two Halloweens ago, I needed to buy a costume for my daughter, and I waited to just the night before to get a costume, and she wanted to wear it, of course, the next day at school when they do their, in kindergarten, their lineup and show everybody their costumes. So, on the way in the car, I said to my daughter, now let's hire a spiritual costume designer to go with us and help us find the right articles, the clothing to put together to make your outfit. And she wanted to be a diva singer. Uh-huh. And we usually had, in previous years, gone to a youth clothing store. We arrived just as they're locking the door.
Oh,
and my daughter looks at me and says, Mom, what are we going to do now? And I said, don't worry, because I knew we had our spiritual costume designer with us, and I knew there was a reason that we got there just as they were closing the door. So I said, this is not the place where we're going to find your outfit. And I looked across the street, and there was Ross. Now, Ross, to my knowledge, doesn't carry costumes, but we walked over there and went to the little girl's section, and there, in a zippered wardrobe bag, was a Divas singer outfit just in her size for $5.49.
Oh, my goodness. You know how much Halloween costumes cost?
Yes. There was two pair there, one with black sparkly pants and one with purple sparkly pants. Well, we bought the black ones. She wore it to Halloween and felt wonderful in it. It looked so cute. And I said to her, you know, those pants fit you so perfectly. I'm going to go back and see if we can't find the purple pair, because it would be great for $5.49. That's it. Worth it. You know, all we need to do is take off that sparkly red sash and it'll be fine. You'll be able to wear it to school. So I went back to the same Ross and looked in the little girl section, and there was no Diva outfit. They were gone. And I closed my eyes and I asked for that spiritual costume designer to get in contact with that spiritual costume designer. And I said, you know, I would just love to have that purple pants. Could you see what you could do? Opened my eyes, went back to the rack, and there it was. One pair hanging there. And now, did I miss it the first time through? I don't know. But there it was.
Yeah, well, you asked and it appeared.
Yes.
And you truly believed.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, in your book, I want to go over something. Actually, I have in-house studio with me today. I have a person here listening to the show, and she was actually reading your book as we were talking, and she wanted to talk about the spiritual sleuth on, I guess it's around page 24 or so, where an object had been lost.
Yes.
Okay, and, you know, they're trying to find it. She wants to know is, let's see, how would you make a person understand that it's okay to let the object go? Like, you know, you say you said something earlier about, you know, the diamond ring or whatever in the street and whatever,
right.
And it was found. Well, what if you never found it? How do you come to the realization that it's okay
to let it go?
To let go.
Well, that story is one of my favorite, and it was when I first became aware that you could get on the spiritual level. I told this to my girlfriend, and that's who sent in this story or wrote about this. And what happened to her was that she, and I'll just tell the story real quickly. She had been out in her backyard pruning for a couple hours, and when she came in and took a drink of water, her daughter noticed that her irregular shaped pearl in her ring, which her husband had given her many years ago, was missing. And her heart just sank, because she knew that there was no way she could find a tiny pearl in a huge yard. And knew it was gone. Her heart sank, thought, I'll never find it. But then she remembered about getting help from the spiritual world. So she asked for a spiritual jewelry sleuth to find her pearl and to bring it to her. Not more than an hour later, she's talking to her kids on the bed, and the dog jumps up on the bed. Her son says, Mom, Callie's playing with something in her mouth. So she said, drop it, Callie. And the dog dropped the pearl right in front of her hand.
Oh, my goodness.
So since I have told that story about the spiritual jewelry sleuth, I have heard one story after another, just miraculous findings of jewelry. Another lady told me that she came to hear me talk, and when she heard about it, on her way home, she asked the spiritual jewelry sleuth to find her wedding ring. Now, she was a widow. She had lost her wedding ring something like, I think she told me, 10 or 15 years ago. And it's the one thing that she wished she still, you know, she'd had from her late husband. So when she got home, she was sitting on the couch looking at a live plant that was on her coffee table and noticed there was a dead leaf there. Pulled off the dead leaf and thought, was that something shiny? And leaned forward and pulled her wedding ring out of the dirt.
After all those years.
After all those years.
Wow.
And I had another email from someone that asked me, can you help me out? I've been asking for my wedding ring to show up, my diamond wedding ring, and she had lost it and had not been able to find it. And every day she was had been looking for it, and it hired the heavens, and it was not there, was not there. Is there any advice I could give her? And I just said to have faith, and if it's, you know, meant to be, it'll show up. She emailed me about a year later and said, I have it. And she said it was in the drawer where she had looked, and she said, I am not kidding, at least 100 times.
Wow. So if sometimes it can be right under you, but if it's not meant for you to have it for whatever reason at that particular time, it's just not going to avail itself to you.
Right. And so it kind of gets back to that question of faith that I was saying. If you're asking for something and it's not showing up, just say to yourself, that's okay, because I know that everything is always working out for my highest and greatest good. It'll come when it's meant to.
Okay. Okay. In your book, you talk about the power of thought. Why don't you share what your thoughts on that with the audience?
Well, as I said, I am not a religious or I don't have a religious affiliation. So how all of this works, I'm not exactly certain. And it may be just the power of thought, which we know is in and of itself extraordinary. I have come to believe that it's more than just the power of thought. I had a great talk with a lady who's clairvoyant and has seen angels and worked with angels her whole life since she was a little girl.
Uh-huh.
And she said to me that reading my book gave her an added dimension that she had never thought of. Even though she had worked with angels her whole life, she had never thought about asking for help with all sorts of different projects that she was working on. So after reading my book, she put together that night committee after committee for every project that she was working on, and exhausted, she fell asleep.
Uh-huh.
The next morning when she woke up, she said she couldn't believe her eyes. She saw angels everywhere in the room. There was so much commotion going on that she just could hardly believe it. And there were even some coming up to her that she had not hired, saying, we heard you were hiring. Have you got a job for me? And here's my resume. Here's what I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
And after hearing her say that, and I'm not clairvoyant, I don't see things, but after hearing her say that, I've come to believe that there's more going on than certainly than what we can see, and even beyond the power of thought.
Okay, so it seems like you're saying, you know, you have to think it in order for it to really be there, but then you have to believe and then desire, and have the desire and the belief kind of like be equal. Does that make sense? So that you can just, you know, allow it to come in.
Allow it to come in. And also knowing that we are meant to be creators, and we are here to create many, many things. And there is tremendous joy in that. And that the universe is standing ready to assist us in our creations, whatever it is that we desire, whatever it is that we can think of.
Uh-huh.
And using our imagination, we have so much power available to us, and we just need to be able to tap into it.
Okay, and be able to trust that we're doing the right thing, I guess.
That's where that faith comes in.
Okay, you know, it can be hard.
There are many tests that come along, isn't there?
Yeah, but you know, on the other side of that, although it may seem a bit difficult, I really believe that it's part of us, a spirit and a human body, and working through, you know, the lessons that we asked to learn this time around.
Absolutely. And, you know, we came into this world and created it, a world of polarity. And that means that we have to have the full spectrum of experience available to the human race, for everything from the most dismal heinous experience on one end to the most exalted, glorious experience on the other end, and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a full experience available to us, and it's just deciding what is it that we want to create for ourselves, what is it that we want to experience, and what did we have in mind when we came here?
Yeah. And then just getting the lesson and moving on, moving forward.
Right.
Okay. Well, we've been speaking with Jean Slater, and she is the author of Hiring the Heavens, and that's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your major book outlets, and also from her website, jeanslater.com, and that's JeanSlater.com. You can go there, purchase the book on CD format, and check out the other services that she offers. She is available for working one-on-one with the listening audience. Jean, I want to thank you so much for being my guest tonight. I truly do appreciate it.
Thank you, Monique. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, and we'll have to have you back sometime.
Oh, I would love that.
Okay. Now, next week, I will be back with author and former CNN correspondent Marshall Masters, and we're going to talk about the Colvin Bible and Planet Nerubu and all kinds of exciting out there things that are going on. So if you'd like any information about me or any of my guests, please check out either one of my websites, www.walkingwithspirit.net or www.healing-visions.com, or you can always give me a call at 888-240-6057. And I am available for private consultations in the areas of prosperity, business, career, dreams, life path, relationships, personal growth, negative energy removal, and manifesting techniques. So just give me a call if you're looking to make a change, and I can help you affect that change. And remember that the master knows that he or she is always a student, whereas the student still hopes to someday be a master. Many blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.